manifest themselves outwardly. When it comes to our living out our faith, as outlined in Romans 12, we're going to be reading. We read the first eight verses last week. It talked about how God has put in us He's given us some gifts. And how are we using those gifts? We offer everything to God, renewing our minds with His Word, using the gifts that He's given us for His glory, to edify the body of Christ, and that He changes us more and more each day. I need more of that every day. So chapter 12 to 16 is how we live out the gospel. So it's going to be, sometimes we want to glaze over it because sometimes it's, we don't want to be changed. Sometimes we reluctantly want to change. So what does it look like in our life now that you chose to respond to the invitation that Christ has given you by putting faith in Him, finding new life in Him, your identity in Him? Now God's got a purpose for your life that He desires you to live it out. So what does that look like? This is the expression of your faith becoming tangible. Because the next four chapters is application. How do we apply the Word of God that the first 11 chapters was all about foundation, laying the foundation. Next four is about our expression, how we're going to live out what we've been learning, applying it to our lives. So don't become overwhelmed. Don't become overwhelmed. But allow the Holy Spirit to use God's Word to encourage you, to convict you, to change you, more fully flavored version of God. Become more like Christ every day. Because we all suffer, or we do struggle with it. Because we're not perfect yet. We're being perfected. And so, as we read Romans 12, 9 to 21, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. So hate, dislike what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, handing out to the needs of those saints with generosity. Bless those who are persecuting you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men and women and your wives. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give peace. Give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's a lot of things, you know, if you start underlining all that was said in Romans 12:9, it says, you know, do not let love be without hypocrisy. Right? So sometimes we claim to love one another while their actions and behavior contradict the claim, revealing an incident, not being sincere in our love. Being like, hypocrisy is like wearing a mask. On the outwardly we show that we love, but inwardly we don't love them. It's amazing how God reveals that in our own lives, even where we're not loving somebody truly how we should love them. How he reveals that. It's amazing how love, it comes out of our heart. It can't be faked. If we try to fake things, we could only fake it for so long. I know in chapter 12, verses 4 to 8, it was all about using our spiritual gifts. And now Paul now turns to the focus on the gifts, from the gifts to the focus on our more general way to love in the church. When you come to a body of believers, what really attracts you to the congregation? Perhaps how the church receives you, how they genuinely love you from where you're at. Because we all are different living, you know, at different spots or different times, right? Some of us are going through hard times. Some are going through good times. Some are like, you know, on the fence. Like, each day is so different. But how is the church receiving us? Are we loving one another? Even though we don't look down upon one another, we come alongside one another, encourage one another, and to build up one another in the faith. To use our gift, our spiritual gifts, rather than pulling down somebody, but lifting them up. You know, I think about in Acts 2? It talks about how the church was growing. I think it was Acts 2, wasn't it? Acts 2:47. How the church, the early church, was selling things and helping out other people within the community. And how the people who were receiving that received it because they were really showed how much they loved and cared for them. And there was no expectations when they gave, but they freely gave what they had. And it goes on and talks about how the church grew. Like a genuine love for somebody as we read, right, in Romans 12, whatever verse that was, but to give generously. Maybe give generously our time, our finances, giving our talents, using our talents. Like last week we were talking about how sometimes some people are exhorters, some people are encouragers. Come alongside people and to encourage somebody, that shows love. And this is what in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 says. And it's, you know, if you recall chapter 12, it's all about the spiritual gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12 is all about spiritual gifts. And Paul says at the end of chapter 12, verse 31 in 1 Corinthians 12, 31 says, But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you in a more excellent way. What's the higher gift? Love. It's not about your talents or your giftings. But do I truly love somebody? Do I truly desire them to grow? We all have gifts and talents, but it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, do I have that on? It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but not love, I become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. It's a clanging noise. It's an annoying noise. If I don't have love, if I don't love them wholeheartedly, I'm a hypocritical person. But I don't. This is how we sound. Like a clang. Sometimes we sound like a clang because you don't really truly love somebody. And we'll go on to read. And although I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and through I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. You know, in Romans 12, it talks about think. Let me go to Romans 12. I'll flip back. It says, do not think of himself more highly than you ought to think. Verse 3. Do not think highly of yourself. So we turn that back on, please. Right? So love does not parade itself puffed up. So we should not think of ourselves higher than somebody else. Because we're not, none of us are any better than anyone. We all have come from broken pasts. And God brings healing and restoration from those brokenness. Maybe we feel broken today. We don't look down upon somebody who's broken, but we come alongside and encourage them with the word of God to build them up, using our gifts to what? Bring exhortation to encouragement within the body of believers so that people will know that they're truly loved. We don't condone their sin, but we don't condemn them. But we say, you know, that what you're doing is not right. God will change that as you surrender. Things that we do, maybe doesn't always, we don't all live perfect. We all sometimes love, don't really love. And sometimes we get really harsh and bitter. And so love does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And Paul is unfolding. Because in Romans 12, 2 says, have your mind transformed. Is our mind and our hearts being transformed? This is the hard part. Because here we are, we're actually applying what we've been learning. Do I really want the Lord to transform me in my difficult area? Do I really want to be transformed? Do I truly want to be like Christ to others? To be different? When Paul in verse 12, 6 to 8, he says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or minister, and let us use it for our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. Paul is saying in verse 8 that contributing should be generous, leading should be zealous, and mercy should be cheerful, and love should be without hypocrisy, should be sincere. It really shows how sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes God reveals how selfish I am. And that I do fall short. Do I stay there, though? When he shows that I'm being selfish, do I stay there? Or do I say, Lord, forgive me for being selfish. Forgive me for not loving my family the way I ought to, or my neighbor. Even to really love somebody, it's like sharing the truth of the gospel to them. Do I really love the lost? Do I really desire to share the truth of the gospel with them? Because if I don't love them, I won't share the gospel with them. That's a hard one. Why don't I want to share the gospel to the lost? When we talk about hypocrisies, it's like, why are we sometimes hypocrites? Perhaps we're more concerned about ourselves than others. Or how I appear. Sometimes for being a hypocrite is we're trying to create a good impression about ourselves. How do we see on the outside rather than what's happening on the inside? So Paul says about the mercies of God in Christ, he is working for transformed minds. In verse 2 says, he's working transformation in our minds, not to be conformed to this age, but be renewed. And that for the foremost, do not make much of themselves, but much of Christ. There's a lifestyle that shows the worth of Christ. Exhortation over the worth of self exaltation. Is Christ being exalted in our life, or are we allowing ourselves to be exalted more than Christ? We read 1 Corinthians 13:3. It says, if I give all I have and deliver up my body to be burned, but do not love, I gain nothing. So you could do some remarkable external acts of sacrifice, but not love. This is a classic. You know, even in Matthew 15:7, Jesus said, you hypocrites. Because he's talking to the Pharisees, and they're hypocrites. On the outside, they looked like they were perfect, but inside, their hearts were, they had no love. In Isaiah, it says that these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So sometimes we praise God with our lips, but where our hearts are. External lip praise is not accomplished. It's not accomplished by internal heart praise. So when Paul is saying, real love doesn't act this way, but love without hypocrisy, it's not love if it's hypocrisy. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says that love rejoices in the truth, but hypocrisy is about falsehood, concealment, deceit, cloaking, misleading, hiding. Hypocrisy is the opposite of loving the truth. So it's the opposite of love. So love should be genuine. We love one another. We don't want to look good on the outside, but we're revealing the true love what we have for others from our hearts. The command to love without hypocrisy is really the command to know Christ, to love Christ, and find your satisfaction in Christ. So you do not crave the praise of men anymore. The other way of hypocrisy show itself, we hide our flaws, sometimes even from ourselves, drawing attention to other people's flaws, so they don't have to show up so clear in your own life. Sometimes we do that. We like to point out other people's failures rather than dealing with our own failures. I think I've done that. I know I've done that. You know, sometimes we like to pick out everybody else's failures and pick upon them rather than dealing with in our own heart. It's really fun reading go by verse, isn't it? To really allow the Holy Spirit, because we can't, if you want to go verse by verse in the Bible, sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, I think I'm going to skip chapter 13 or 12 and not to apply these stuff. But the Lord is, as we sung today, is about our hearts. What is the condition of our hearts? And are we allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal what's in our hearts? Do I love Him, truly love Him? Or is it just lip service? And sometimes we get cold. Or we go through the motions. In Luke 6:42, Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? Right? Sometimes it's easier to pick on other people. Look at what they are doing, rather than what we are not doing. It says, you hypocrite, first take out the log out of your own eye, then you would see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. So it means we need to pray as we read. We ask the Holy Spirit to make the word effective in our lives. We will admit our need for Him, for Christ, and be conscious that we, when we merely read, we will not produce godly lives, but we need to apply it and allow the Holy Spirit to renew us. We need to depend on His work in us to make the Word produce what it commands. He will then produce His fruit in our lives, that we would truly love people without any expectations. We will constantly look to Jesus as one who died for us, who rose again, so that we could be forgiven for all our sins. To live this way, we have to have any hope that God will look with favor on us and help us. We need to forgive others. We also look to Him as one who lived perfectly to be our godly example. I can't wait till the day that we don't have to worry about to get to heaven, not to deal with all this stuff of the imperfections that we have, the failures that we that God so gracefully shows us as we continue to walk in with Him and this journey. He's revealing the things of our heart and things that we kind of don't want to deal with. The reason we look to Christ as a foundation, the model and goal of Romans 12, of living, is that the Holy Spirit is sent into the world to glorify Jesus. If we're trying to live like this for our glory, even with the help of the Holy Spirit, can't do it in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit to help us, who enables us to live this life. And as the Holy Spirit convicts us of not loving and being not gracious, so we pray and ask the Holy Spirit help us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live the Romans 12 way. It's amazing how we try and do things in our own strength. How does that go at times? It's a spiral. And I think God allows us to do it in our own strength at times to really show us where we're not trusting Him. Right? So we meditate on these exhortations. We do not breeze over them. We meditate over them. We ask what they mean. It's like, Lord, what do you want to work on in my life? Help me, Lord, to love without hypocrisy, hate what is evil. Do we hate what is evil? Does it really annoy us? Does it get us? There's a holy righteousness. Does that holy righteousness rise up in us? To cling what is good, be affectionate to one another with brotherly love, honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. Reverent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continue steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given into hospitality. Bless those who persecute us, but not cursing them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Like, what area in those four verses, Lord, what do you want to work on in my life right now? So, Lord, when we pray earnestly, as we go to the Lord, He will transform us because what we're eating and applying to our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, as we read these, the areas, Lord, where we need help. And Lord, forgive us at times. Forgive us when we are, when there's hypocrisy in our lives, Lord, that we're not loving somebody as we ought to love them. Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings. And Lord, I pray by the work of your Holy Spirit, that you continue to transform our hearts. Lord, that we would honor one another. And Lord, that we would be using our gifts to help, encourage, and strengthen people. Lord, I pray that our love would become more real. And Lord, as you transform our hearts, Lord, we become more like Jesus every day. But in practical ways, Lord, help us to be practical, but not just give lip service, Lord, but we would give practical, in practical ways to help one another to grow. And Father, that you would put on people's, on our hearts, people that we should be praying for. And Lord, how we could help one another. I pray, Father, that you would just move in this place and in our hearts. And Lord, that you would reveal things in our lives. Lord, that, and I know, Lord, that you are dealing with things in our lives, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us today. In Jesus' name.